that you passed something. To NNU?
N to NNU, go right ahead.
Thank you. I will concur that to be a bit cautious when you purchase CSO. I have four pieces of equipment that are all broken here and sitting gathering dust. The last issue was that 1000 MP Mark V blew its power supply up. And as a reoccurring team, I observed that in all four pieces of equipment, ESO has a habit to take common components, resistors, capacitors, some transistors, put them on a ceramic substrate and make a very custom circuit. Now, all those little components cost you probably a dollar to purchase them, if it would have been to replace them yourself. But ESO wants now $200 for this part that they built in. So that's a way to keep the customer captive. Four pieces of equipment, and I'm almost ready to write to the president about it. Never mind the poor design on the power supply that blew up in my face. So, grain of salt when it comes to ESO. Back to that.
All right, well, wait a minute. Let's roll back here for a second. I think when you look at ESO, you have to look at it as almost three different companies from an amateur radio viewpoint. The HF rigs, you know, the complex, you know, radios like that, the handy talkies, and the mobile rigs. They are three different animals. You don't have that kind of problem with the handy talkies. In fact, the handy talkies are just phenomenally solid performers. They really, really are. I'm very impressed with them. However, it was just human factors that just annoy me more than anything about them, Alex. But if I had a Yaesu HF radio and it did what you're saying, I would be screaming too. I totally sympathize. I tend to be an ICOM guy. I used to be a Kenwood guy, but Kenwood stopped making really, really good HF radios with two exceptions. I think the 480 and the 40 pair and the TS-2000 or the 2000 platform from Kenwood are pretty impressive, although in all honesty I think the 9100 is about to kick the tail out of the TS-2000, and I think that if I was going to get a 480, I would do what Jim did and get the 200 watt model, put it in my van with an external antenna tuner, automatic tuner, and away we go. I kind of like that approach. That radio is a pretty slick radio. I'm not going to get into the religious war of audio DSP versus IF DSP, but neither here nor there. I think that probably the finest HF 200 watt rock and roll radio for a mobile where you could use the extra 3 dB is probably the Kenwood. And I have an ICOM 7000, let me drop it. I have an ICOM 7000, which I do like. I like a lot. And I stick with it because, frankly, I want to keep one set of human factors in my brain. So I go from a 703 plus QRP rig to a 7000 to a 746 to a Pro 2 to a Pro 3. So, it's kind of my lineup these days. So, it's pretty straightforward. And while they're not identical, enough of the stuff is similar so that I'm not buying everything 6 weeks from Sunday. The Yaesu handy talkies, the Yaesu handy talkies are very fine. There are some things that the Yaesu handy talkie does that the Kenwood TH-F6 doesn't, and vice versa. But from a human factors viewpoint, I would buy the Kenwood, and from a and some features, and then just from an operability viewpoint, I would buy the Kenwood. But the durability would definitely be the durability in the, some of these boutique-y APRS type things, I think I'd be very much interested in the VX8 GR. There is, by the way, another handy talkie that Kenwood sells that I think will do APRS as well, but it does it with by tying an external GPS to your radio, so it's kind of messy. You're hanging a lot of wires and radios on you. The APRS solution is a single box solution. Any other comments?
Remind me about the handy talkie. There are five pieces of equipment. The FT-470. I don't know if you remember this one. It was one of the best ones. I really liked it very much. It was the only handy talkie capable of cross band repeat. And the final goal, $500 to repair it. The whole radio was costing about $400. My last comment.
Well, was it a module or was it a transistor?
Two transistors on a piece of ceramic, three resistors, I don't know what, coils, I believe, dipped in epoxy, handmade stuff.
Okay. Very interesting. Well, we've kind of gotten to the point where, unless it's really, really interesting, it's pretty disposable for handy talkies these days, especially with the Chinese making them. But yeah, good point. The 470 is a few years old, so I understand. Anybody else?
Wanted to ask you about that altitude meter on your handy talkie. Is that a barometric pressure meter, or how does it know how high you are? Back to you.
I don't know how it works on the VX8, but on the VX6 and the VX7, it was barometric. Yes, and by the way, really, really reasonably accurate. I was amazed. I used it in two different places that were as different as could be. One was in the damp Adirondacks in late June, early July. And then I used it in, in New Mexico, where the barometric pressure was all over the place, everywhere from desert to soaking rain. By the way, I'm back again a few hours later, and it seemed to compensate for that. It was really kind of amazing. So the VX8 may also tie into the GPS. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's another thing to think about as well. Very, very cool. I was pleased with it, to answer your question, Alex. Anybody else?
KF2ID. I have the advertisement for the VX8R in front of me. It uses barometric pressure. It also says Bluetooth for hands-free operation. I'm not quite sure. I guess you don't hold it. Okay, I guess you just have the microphone up at your radiates down to below, but I'm not quite sure how you turn it on and off. You'll have to push something. But that Bluetooth is a minor problem. And I see the optional GPS antenna for using the speaker microphone. Also, it has 50/144/222 with a reduced power output for 30 megahertz. KF2ID with KFBAR.
Yeah, that's the 8R. There's now two new models of that series, the DR and the GR, and that's what we were referring to. The GR has only 2 and 440, no 220, but it will do the general coverage receive and includes a built-in GPS, not a GPS on the microphone. And then there's on top of that, there's a what do you call it? There's a the DR, which I'm trying to remember, has the optional microphone like the R does, with the GPS built on that. So when you use the Bluetooth, and there's a single ear and a double ear Bluetooth solution, it's got to push the talk on the cabling for the earpiece, so that but it doesn't tether back to the radio. So you get a couple of different solutions there to consider. So it's really kind of neat. You got choices, but just the one thing I'd be very, very careful about is running out and getting the first GRs out there. Just like the first 8Rs, there were some issues with them, and they resolved them pretty quickly. And also, if you go to any of the local purveyors, they will sell you the configuration that they have in stock or can get in stock or can order for you quickly, whether or not that's the right one for you. And so do some homework, do some research, and think about how you'd use it before you buy anything. JK. Go ahead, Don.
I'm looking at page 7 of the April issue of QST, and that's where the ad is. And there's a little footnote there. The VXHER has not been approved by the FCC. This device may not be sold or leased or offered for sale or lease until FCC approval has been obtained. So and that's where the status is now. Over.
Yeah, my guess is magically at Dayton that will lift. And so, you know, if you buy it during the early part of the summer or the summer, it's probably a better time to buy it than now when it first comes out of Dayton, you know. That's the standard pre-Dayton or pre-release, you know, legal disclaimer to telling you, yeah, if the FCC says it's okay, we're going to be selling it. We're not anticipating any problems. We just haven't gone through the process at the time we bought the ad. So please stand by. Like that's basically what you're reading there. Any more from you, Mr. Ben?
That's very good. Thank you very much. I guess these are computer programmable. I hope. I didn't see anything in the airport and the advertisement about it, but all these little buttons that start reading in repeater frequencies and all kinds of other stuff. I assume these things are computer programmable.
Not only are they, but because it's IASU, I would strongly advise that you program it that way. I would also strongly advise that you know how to do a couple of basic functions. Set the receive frequency, set your transmit offset, set your tone, maybe change bands, and probably any APRS functions. You're probably going to want to know how to do those two things. And how to use it for FM stereo or whatever. You know, use it as a radio or listen on AM or something. But I mean, those are, as again, that's setting the frequency and the mode, that kind of thing. So, but those basic things, I mean, then the band scan and the channel scan and then this scan and then that scan, it's like, you know what, you know, and the wires interface and all that other hoopla, all important to program from your computer after the basic functions. So that's pretty much what I have. Anybody else?
This is W2JK. Yeah, as far as programming these things, I think you get one of these things, you should know how, as you say, Gordon, know how to change the frequency yourself without having to rely on the computer. You have to carry a little cheat sheet along with you to enable you to do this. And the reason I say that is we come up to some of these public service events and somebody says, well, oh, let's go on 146, that's so-and-so and so-and-so. And nobody but Joe has 146 so-and-so in his thing. Everybody's got put on the thinking caps and try to change frequencies and get these situations. So, and one other thing I remember seeing is a clip of the SERP radios from this SERP group that was attending the River Edge Run a couple of years back. The radios didn't even have a, I don't think there was even a readout of what frequency the thing was on. It was a channel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they couldn't find three radios that would talk to each other. And the way they were programmed, and in the way they were, what was programmed on those things. Yeah, it's nice to, if you want to be able to program that thing yourself, not have to rely on carrying a computer to do it. Back to that, W2JK.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, the fun part about the CERT radios is they were all public safety radios. They were all pretty much the same model, and Channel 1 wasn't always Channel 1. And then there were radios that weren't just operable. They just didn't function, never mind what channel they were programmed for. They just, either they were just not powering up, batteries, they had other, it was charming. Yeah, I saw that. Anyway, hope everybody has a fine evening. Are there any other questions, comments for the net? Oh, I do have one point. There's a Barra meeting on Sunday. It is not the first Sunday, but the first Sunday was Easter this month. So there's a Barra meeting on Sunday night, and I believe Ron will be showing us his flies from Crete and other such extravagant journeys he spends a few months of the year on. So hopefully we'll see a good crowd for that too on Sunday night. Gather at the Red Cross at 7 p.m. and the meeting starts a little after 7:30 with the presentations and stuff like that to follow. And I'm now you can put a fork in me, I'll tell you. I'm one tired puppy. So, any other questions, comments, late check-ins, requests, special requests, whatever, for the net, please call K2BAR.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Doug.
Do you have any idea how many people are coming to this class you're running tomorrow?
No, sir, I don't. I'm assuming about a dozen. My general rule is somewhere between a dozen and a score, and every so often I'm disappointed and I get four, but or six. But, you know, we should have at least, well, I know of at least a half a dozen that have said they're coming, so we'll see if they do.
Okay, just a ballpark figure. Okay, good job. I'll see you there tomorrow night, then. W2JEK, Claire.
Okay, okay. If you need to make copies, we have those facilities available to us. W2JEK, anybody else? K2BAR. All right, I'd like to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater tonight. Hope to see some of you guys on Saturday morning for breakfast at St. John's and Bergenfield in Conlon Hall. Talk-in will be on this repeater and also on 146.52. So hopefully we'll see you then. So this is K2BAR, W2TTT. Thanking everyone for checking in and contributing to a very lively net tonight. This is W2TTT, Claire.